You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
At this time, we're going to dismiss our kiddos, and you guys can cruise back to your new nursery room. Enjoy. It is amazing. Parents, later on after service, when you go to pick them up, it's really simple. You're going to get on the Eisenhower Expressway. Yeah, you'll be able to find them. Just listen for all the noise, and they'll totally help you guys out in that process. Before I start in, I just want to thank Matt and Holly for battling through worship. Amen. Aren't there days when you just got to battle through? Aren't there weeks when you just got to battle through? Aren't there years and decades when you just have to battle through? So I'm so thankful for that. And speaking of battling through, I am very aware that today is Mother's Day. One of the things that I've chosen as a pastor is to be very careful with Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is a very bipolar day. There are people who are very excited that they are mothers, and there are people who are crushed that they are not mothers. And one of the parts of Real Church is we recognize both sides of the situation. We recognize that there are people who have been praying to God and saying, Lord, 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 please. And there's another group of people who are mothers who are saying, Lord, 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 why? And so you've got those two sides. And so one of the things I want to do is I want to honor all the women in the room is what I want to do. Okay? We have mothers who are mothers by birth, and we have mothers who are mothers by adoption, and we have mothers who are mothers by proxy because the other mothers who have adopted and need help. And so it takes a community. Amen? And so to all the women inside of our church, I want to communicate to you, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. And thank you for mainly putting up with all the men. So praise God. Someone say amen. All right, we're going to do something old school. It's testimony time. Jody, Finley, will you please come up? It's testimony time. Nick, you turn on this handheld microphone. We'll see how she does with this. Come on up, Jordan. Come on up. Yeah, come on. You come on. You got your cute pink boots on. Come on up. Here you go. Okay, now if you don't hold the microphone correct, Madge is going to yell at you.
Okay, Madge.
Yeah, so,
closer,
yeah.
Closer?
Right?
Is that good?
Perfect, perfect.
Good.
Okay.
Madge.
Go ahead and test it.
Hello?
You can hear.
Good?
You can hear.
Okay,
so I'm going to interview her and just ask her a couple questions, okay? And if you like her responses, let her know, okay? If you don't like her responses, stay quiet. All right? Real Church. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Jody, what do you like about Real Church?
Oh, man, there's a lot. I would say some of the biggest things for me was, I would say the ladies, woo-woo.
Woo-woo, on Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day, right? I think the first time coming in the doors and getting overwhelmed by not seeing, like, clicks and not seeing the negative side that, unfortunately, sometimes us women can be a part of.
So you've grown up in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Real church. Sorry.
Yeah, it is. I came from that unfortunate side of it. So that was one of the first things that hit me, was just being overwhelmed by just the kindness from the women. And then just me and Marlon just both hearing the message and just both of us feeling like, okay, God, like you're hitting us with this, and loving that it's a part of our community, and that it's not far. So those, I mean, that was probably the first three things that like hit me the most.
So what I'm going to take from that is she says the preaching's good.
Yes. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. I like that one. Okay. But let's be honest for a second. How intimidating was it the first time you walked in, though? Was there a part of you that was like, oh, no, these people are deep. They all know each other. Let's run. Like, what was that like? Because coming in for the first time into a community that actually loves and functions,
right.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I had that worry in my heart of saying, how am I going to step into this? Because every single person, I think the first group of people that I met were all from California. So I was like, what the?
Not anymore.
Like, there's not a Chicagoan?
Not anymore. No one's from California anymore. So
right,
own
right.
it.
But no, I think that, again, I think it it came, that worry went away very quickly by the love that we both felt, I think,
Very cool.
And just the acceptance.
Okay, now I hear a rumor that your husband has several names. So
yes,
what are his several names?
Marlon and Jermaine, and those are really the only two
Marlon
that
and Jermaine.
We use.
Yeah, so sometimes you'll hear her call him Jermaine, which
yes.
threw me off. I was like, I thought that was Marlon. But it's Jermaine. His family wanted to put back together the Jackson 5. They were very hurt.
Yeah.
That they broke up,
his
and so literally that was the goal.
Five.
And so thank you so much for coming up and just sharing. Can you guys just give her some love for a second?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Jordan, wonderful assistant. One of the things that we're going to start doing inside of Real Church is we're bringing testimonies back. We're bringing back for the next 5-6 weeks of what is the Lord doing in your life, and why don't you share about it? Every once in a while, you just get bored because the talking head pastor gets up here and keep saying, hey, love God, love God, love God, love God. Every once in a while, it's just better if other people get up and just start sharing the truth. And, you know, because we're part of a training church and we're part of a teaching church, one of my jobs as pastor is to get out of the way and let people be trained and let people learn. Amen? All right. If you guys would do me a favor, if you would stand up with me real quick. This is weird for you, I know, but stand up for me. I'm going to read out of Psalms 121. And I'm going to read verse 5. Okay, just Psalms 121, verse 5. Psalms 121, verse 5 says this. The Lord is your keeper. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our keeper. Mighty God, whether we recognize it or not, you watch over us. You provide for us, and you have a plan for us. Heavenly Father, bless us with your Holy Spirit so that we may learn from your scriptures. God, press our egos and our pride out of the way so we can be real with ourselves. Ultimately, so we can be real with you, God. And then we can testify to others about the real God we love. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and take your seat. We're going to jump into Psalms 121. I am excited to teach to you guys about God being your keeper. Now, I got to confess to you, it's really funny this week. I get an email from Matt Smith who says, Pastor Nathan, do you realize you messed up the preaching calendar? You over-preached last Sunday. You taught this Sunday and next Sunday's sermon all in one. And I just got excited last Sunday. I don't know if you guys noticed that, a tent over me. I was just excited to go. And I want you to know, when I left teaching last Sunday, I felt like there was so much more I could tell you. I felt like I left so much that I was like, Lord, I literally told my family driving in the car, there's so much more that I wanted to say. There's so much more that I wanted to communicate. There was so much more that I wanted to tell you, but there's only so much time on Sunday, so we're going to move on. And I get this email from Matt that says, hey, you actually kind of created an opening for a week. So we met together as a leadership team, and I was like, I've messed up the sermon calendar, which really throws a bunch of people off because there's other people who are going to come up and teach. We've got Nick who's going to teach, Mike who's going to teach, Tani who's going to teach. There's other people who are going to come up and teach, and they're already working on their sermons and their teachings, and it kind of messes them up if I move the calendar around. So I didn't want to do that to them too much. But we just prayed and said, God, what do you want to do? And I really felt like God was saying, go back and teach covering. Go back and teach covering. You're not done with John chapter 7. You're not done with the concept of covering. Now, let me help you guys out just a little bit. I'm a Baptist kid. I'm a Southern Baptist kid, which means we have a lot of problems, okay? You may come from another church background. You have your own special problems, okay? In my group, we have our set of problems. And when you start talking about the covering of God, that seems too Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit-ish. Get away from it. Run. Stop talking about that. Jump back into the scriptures and only teach what's in the Bible. Don't talk about some things that are a little bit more creative and a little bit open and a little bit overwhelming. Although the scriptures teach about it, just stay quiet about it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about Satan and demons and they'll leave you alone. Don't talk about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will leave you alone. Just talk about Jesus, but not at Real Church. At Real Church, we're going to talk about all the stuff, even if we don't like talking about it, even if we don't want to deal with it, even if we want to ignore it, we're going to deal with the truth. And the truth is when we were talking about the Festival of Booths and we were talking about the structure that they would build and the tent that I had last week that was over me, the point was is you were covered. The point was you had shelter. The point was you had safety. The point was you had protection. And who was your protection? The protection was not the palm fronds. The protection was not the wood sticks. The protection was not the walls. The protection was God Almighty, who's your keeper. And God said, go back and talk to him about covering. Go back and tell him who I am. And so we jump into Psalm 121. I love that we read it together. I'm in the back and I'm looking at Nick and I'm like, Nick, I can't believe we just did responsive reading on what I'm preaching on. And he looks at me and he smiles. He says, I know, Pastor, I changed it. Let me tell you something right now. We got a church that's working. They don't have to come to the pastor and ask what to do. They know what to do. Amen? Be the body of Christ. Don't ask permission to be the body of Christ. Let's jump into this. Psalm 121 is a psalm of ascent. Can you tell I'm excited? Somebody tell me, Pastor, you're excited. Can you tell I'm excited? Can you tell that I'm kind of bouncy? Can you tell that I'm speaking fast? Can you tell that I keep moving forward and I want to come and sit in your lap and tell you about Jesus? Can you tell that I'm trying very hard to stay up here and stay away from you? Okay? I'm going to tell you the good old story. Thank you. I appreciate that, Madge. Psalm 121 is a psalm of ascent. Psalm 121 was a psalm that pilgrims who were traveling to Jerusalem would go through a progression of psalms that they would say, and they would put these things together. And I want you to understand the psalm of ascent is preparing for Sunday. The psalm of ascent isn't when you arrive in church. The psalm of ascent is preparing to get to church. When was the last time you were in your car driving to church and you looked at the person next to you and said, do you know where I am going? And the person next to you said, I know where you are going. And the person driving said, I am going to the house of the Lord. And the person sitting next to him and said, we will both go together to the house of the Lord. And the person driving said, it is going to be good. And the person sitting next to him and said, it's going to be very good because we have left our children at home. Amen? All right. Too real at Real Church. Psalm 121, they're traveling up to Jerusalem. They're going to literally rise in elevation about 3,000 feet from the bottom of the Dead Sea all the way up to the top of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is up on a mountain, but from the Mediterranean side, it doesn't seem like a mountain. It seems like a hill. So from the west side, Jerusalem seems like a little hill, but from the east side, it looks like a mountain. And these pilgrims are going to go up to Jerusalem, and they're going to walk up to Jerusalem in 90 to 104 to 114 degree heat. You don't travel at night. If you're somebody who understands the desert, you know, drive through the desert at night. Don't drive through the desert during the day. But that's not what they could do. You can't travel at night. It wasn't safe, so they had to go through the day. And one of the things that they would do as they're going up the mountain, they would encourage each other. We look at Psalm 121. It's a conversation between two people. It's not one person talking. You have a call, and you have a response. I'm going to say the word call. You guys say the word response. There's a call and a? It's a conversation. That's why I keep trying to get our church to start conversating with the worship team. Start conversating with the worship leader. Start conversating with the pastor. If the pastor's preaching good, tell them, you're preaching good. If the pastor's preaching bad, go keep trying, okay? Keep trying. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. Keep trying, okay? What these people are doing is they're having a conversation. And the first person, as he's walking up and he's looking up at the destination and the goal, he says this. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Notice the person who's sweating, the person who's tired, the person who's exhausted, the person who doesn't want to walk any further because they brought their wrong sandals, the person who has a kid or family members and the entourage as to how difficult it is to go up to Jerusalem. Notice that the person says, where does my help come from? But they don't wait for anybody to tell them where their help comes from. Christians, some of you guys ask questions and you leave them open-ended and you already know the answers. This person doesn't leave it open-ended. This person answers the question with truth. The person says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. They didn't wait. How many of you guys allow depression to sneak in because you wait before you give yourself the antidote and the truth? Sure, it's okay to ask questions, but you better put the right answer in quick, or you're going to get yourself in some trouble. And so the first person comes up and says, this is hard, this is difficult, I'm exhausted, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help doesn't come from Gatorade. My help doesn't come from a gluten-free diet. My help doesn't come from organically, you know, resourced, whatever you want to talk about. That's not where my help comes from. Well, somebody say amen after this, because when you get in some serious trouble, you figure out where real help comes from. Amen? Now, I'm not talking baby trouble. I'm not talking like your cable went out. I'm not like talking you have no cell service. I'm not talking about that type of trouble. I'm talking about trouble. This is how you know you're in trouble. When you say, should we call the pastor? And the other person goes, yes. That's when you're in some trouble. This person says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Your help does not come from your bank account. Your help does not come from your employer. Your help does not come from your car. Your help does not come from your house. Your help does not come from your clothes. Your help does not come from anything that can burn in a fire. Your help doesn't come from there. And when you face something that is so gigantic and so big, you better have something that's bigger than your problem. Some of you guys have a very tiny God. And when you come up with problems, the problem seems bigger than your God. Let me tell you something right now. You don't really have a tiny God. You're just clueless about how big your God is. Maybe you're only seeing the nail on his big toe, and you think that your God is tiny. Your God is massive, and your problems are tiny. It's all about perspective. The guy says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And all of a sudden, the person right next to him chimes right in and says, he will not let your foot be moved. Doesn't even wait, doesn't even pause, just starts chiming in. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. See the word keeps again? At the very end of the day, I hope you realize that God is keeping you. I hope you understand that you are kept. I hope you understand that there is a God who holds you. There is a God who's in charge of you. There's a God who designed your days from the beginning to the end. He knew what time he was going to put you in. He knew that you would be born in this century. And stop saying you wish you were born at a different time. You're telling God that he's wrong. God knew that you needed an iPhone, and he put you here at this time because any other time in history, you would have lost your mind. He knew that you needed to be here in this time with air conditioning because most of you would have totally fainted and died. Stephen Schuler, you and I needed to be born in this history because without glasses, the two of us would be blind, lost, and who knows, a coyote would be eating us, okay? We would be done, okay? Me, I needed to be born in this time because I need to have another option other than beans to be fed to me. I am allergic to legumes, and if you would have fed me, they're like, why does this guy keep puffing up and swelling up and coming near to death? I don't know, give him some beans, it'll make him feel better. Like, I would have died. Praise God, I was born in this time. Can you say praise God that you were born in this time? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Miko's Italian ice. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Deep dish pizza. Praise God. Amen. Somebody, oh, what do you mean? No. Okay. Somebody is a thin crust out there. Wow, I like it. I like the participation. The second guy says, he will not let your foot be moved. How many times have you walked on a mountain and the gravel has been slick and the gravel moves underneath you and you lose your footing and you slide? Has anybody ever done that? Have you hiked up on a really steep cliff and you felt the granite fall apart out from underneath you and your foot slides and you think you're about to go meet Jesus? What this caller is saying is, oh, no, you're not going to meet Jesus until he's ready to meet you. You don't get to get there early, and you don't get to get there late. Jesus has your foot. Mom, listen to what I'm telling you right now. God has your children's foot. Quit your worrying. You don't think God's strong enough to take care of your kid? He took care of you, and you were not that intelligent. Nor were you that coordinated. No, you guys are thinking, oh, he's insulting me. No, I'm being gracious with my words towards you. Okay, keep trying. Okay, I hear you. I hear you. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not sleep, will not fall asleep on the job, who will not be unaware of what happened to you. I remember the time when I came home and my mother-in-law was there hanging out with my wife, and we had just had a newborn child. It was Leah. It was a disaster. And I came in, and my mother-in-law was supposed to be helping my wife to get some sleep. And I came in, and my mother-in-law was asleep on the couch, and my wife was asleep in the bedroom, and my daughter had taken all the pots and pans out of the kitchen. And it was just making sure, she was making so much racket, it was insane. I think moms have a special gift of not being able to hear. That has nothing to do with the sermon, but I just think that moms have a special gift of not being able to hear, because I, as a man, hear everything, and a kid beating on a pot in the kitchen, I wouldn't be able to sleep, but that's a whole other story. I come hear what they, oh, amen. Amen. Moms hear what they want. Point number one, moms hear what they want. No. Your God will not fall asleep on you is what I'm trying to tell you. Your God is aware. Your God's eyes are scanning across all the earth, watching everything. Your God is present, and this may scare some of you, in your bedroom. Your God is present in your bathroom. Your God is present in your closet. Your God is present in your basement, in your attic, around your house, below your house, above your house, and to the sides of your house. Scripture tells me that God is in front of you, behind you, over you, underneath you, and with you. So where can you go to get away from God? The answer is nowhere. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. What it's saying is no, neither slumber nor sleep. What it's saying is not just the individual is held, but the nation is held. When I was a little kid, we used to sing a song. Some of you guys know this. He's got the whole world. What's the next part? He's got the whole wide world. You guys aren't very good. Nobody's on the worship team. We're knocking that off. I learned that God had the whole world in his hands. In other words, there's not a place on this earth I can go that my God's keeping power is not present. His protection is not present. His covering is not present. His love is not present. And the guy communicates that my God does not fall asleep. To which the first person responds back. He says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now, my kids and some of the youth in this room don't understand what shade is. They think it's insulting somebody nowadays. Those of you guys who don't know what I'm talking about, you're old, okay? Don't throw shade my way, okay? But what the psalmist is talking about is shade, a covering from the sun. And as a two times, unfortunately, melanoma cancer survivor, I love shade from the sun. So you guys are noticing that I'm starting to wear long sleeve shirts. That's because my dermatologist told me to stop wearing short sleeve shirts. So you guys think, well, you're dressing up. No, they don't have any really cool t-shirts that are long sleeve. You just look like a big, huge, hefty bag. I don't like that. I haven't found anything clear. But I put covering over my skin because I want my skin shaded. I want my skin protected. I want to live a long time. And what the psalmist is saying is as we are walking and we are going up the mountain, as the sun is beating down on us, as we're overheating, as we're exhausted, our God is our shade. Our God is our oasis. Our God is our restoration place. Our God is our covering who protects us. It says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. Your right hand is your most important side in Scripture. Your God is shading the things that are the most important in your life. How cool is that? But right now you're saying, Pastor, I don't feel shaded. Pastor, I don't feel kept. Pastor, I feel injured. I feel hurt. This God that is this God that you talk about, that you say is so good, has allowed me to be hurt. I'll get there. It says, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. In other words, the things that can damage you, the things that can kill you, God is going to protect you from. Now, some of you guys, you're like, well, you know, during the day, the sun, I'm pretty good. But at night, I like the night. I like looking at the moon. I like looking at the stars. At this point in time, it was not safe to be out at night. Now, when I was a kid growing up, my mom told me something, and I repeat to my kids at the exact same time. My mom would say, Nathan, ain't nothing good happening after 11 p.m. at night. was like, Mom, you don't know. Mom, you're old and wise, but you're stupid. You don't know, Mom. Amazing things happen after 11:30 at night. And she's like, what do you think happens? And all the people who are mature and wise and responsible have gone to bed, and it's all the idiots who are still left, and we have fun. My mom said, which group are you in? And I went, ooh. Now, you don't believe me? Let me help you guys out. Some of you guys know, in 1984, a very important R&B artist communicated something. His name was Houdini. Anybody remember Houdini from 1984? Houdini told me that the freaks come out at night. Anybody else know it? The freaks come out at night. You're like, you can't sing that in church. No, the freaks come out at night and the freaks come to church. It's the same. Okay? But what happens at night? Freaks come out. Now, we're in Chicago. Freaks are out all day long. I was walking next to a vampire and somebody else who was like wanted to be a princess in Disney, but it was not definitely a princess in Disney. I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, it is 11:30. What are you doing dressing? No, you're not dressing up. That's just who you are. Okay, zombies walking around. Zombie apocalypse. That's what's happening. Okay, so sometimes what happens? The freaks come out, right? At night. Is it safe at night? Now I remember there's another very, very famous person, a poet of my generation. In 1982, he had Vincent Price do a voiceover. And Vincent Price said this to me as a young, impressionable young man. I learned this. Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize y'all's neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found, you guys know what I'm talking about? Without the soul for getting down, must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside. You guys know the last part? Corpse's shell. Thank you, Michael Jackson and Thriller. It's not safe out there. For some of you guys who were well older in 1984, you may know a hymn that says, out of my bondage, sorrow and night. It says, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, William Sleeper, hilarious, William Sleeper is really this person's name, talking about get out of the night. Penned, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, into thy wealth, out of my sin, into thyself, Jesus I come to thee. How many times are you in the darkness and you are in a place that is not safe and maybe you're one of the freaks that went out at night and you need to get into the light? We see in Psalm 121, they're saying the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. I remember years ago I was having a conversation with God and it wasn't going well. I was in the wrong. And I was communicating to God that I was so upset and so frustrated with what I was dealing with. And God just gave me a simple message. And right here, I want you guys to just take it in, and then I want you to personalize it, and you better say amen. This is what God said to me. He said, Nathan, you have no idea what I've kept from you. Somebody say amen. Do you realize some of the things that God kept from you? Think of some of those people that you didn't marry that God kept from you. Amen? Amen. 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 Some of those hairstyles that you didn't get in it. Amen. Come on. Think of some of the pestilence, the danger, the destruction, the insane environment that God said, no, 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 no. No. They cannot handle that. No. You stay back. And yet you complain. Scripture tells me that God will not give you anything that you cannot survive through. Not make it easy through. Not ignore. Not take a pill and it's gone. God says, I will not put anything on you that will ultimately crush you and destroy you. I will not do that. I will hold it back. But does God hold everything back? No. He doesn't want spoiled children. It says, the Lord is your keeper. Someone say, the Lord is my keeper. It says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. God is talking about eternity. The Lord will keep your life. Though you can beat this body down, though you can destroy this flesh suit that I have on, I am eternal and I will be with my God Almighty. One of the things I had to learn when I was going through my cancer junk is I had to realize that I actually love this flesh suit more than I love eternity. I actually love the temporary more than I love going to be with my God. I love Monday through Saturday. I don't love Sunday. I don't love the party, and I don't love the celebration, and I don't love that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm saying, God, let me stay out at 11:30 at night, please. You guys hear what I'm trying to say? Some of you guys are the same way. You think this is the party. This isn't the party. This is the waiting room. Don't lose your mind in the waiting room. Don't use all your energy in the waiting room. The party's coming. The labor room, that's so true too. Okay? It says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The ultimate evil is death. But death eternal, not death temporary. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Someone say, Pastor, tell me something to write down. Come on. Hey, you got it. Point number one, trouble always arrives. Point number one, trouble always arrives. Trouble always arrives. What we have to understand is when trouble arrives, it's important to understand, how do you use it? How do you use it? Whether you got in trouble on your own or whether someone brought you a big box of trouble and ordered on Amazon Prime and it was delivered in one day. I'm talking about, I don't know how trouble came up. I don't know where trouble came from. One of the things that I realized when I was married is that no longer was I just responsible for my trouble only. I was now responsible for my spouse's trouble and my trouble. And then we created even more trouble. And her name was Leah. And then I was in charge of my trouble, and I was in charge of Danielle's trouble, and I was in charge of Leah's trouble. And Danielle and I didn't learn. And so I was in charge of my trouble, I was in charge of Danielle's trouble, I was in charge of Leah's trouble, and then we had a miscarriage, and we were damaged, and I didn't learn. And so, and then we had trouble, and then we had Shay. And then what we did was we had even more trouble. We got friends. I don't know why. We had enough trouble, but I think what we wanted to do was to share our trouble, because we were taught as young kids to share everything, right? Are you being refined during the trouble? Are you being restored during the trouble? I love that Andy talked about his car being wrecked, and nowadays we use a lot of plastic, so we don't do the stuff that we used to do to cars. But when a car got a dent when I was a kid, you had to pound out the dent with a hammer. You had to hit it. I had a friend, I had a dent on one of my cars, came over. He took this electrical device, he put it up against my car, he fused this little itty-bitty rivet to my car, to the outside. He grabbed a tool, and he clamped it onto the tool, and then he grabbed this piece, and he pulled back really hard. Wham, 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 and it pulled out my fender. Now, I thought, that is brilliant, except I've got this pimple-looking thing off the side of my fender, which was a piece of metal that you totally welded onto my car. What do we do with that? He goes, it's really easy. Pulls out a grinder, and takes it right off and then sands it. And he goes, now we're ready to do something. How many times have you walked around in life and you dented yourself, and the Lord God Almighty has come to you and he's trying to pull the dent out, but you're moving? How many times have you crushed yourself into an emotional wall? You've done damage and you're like, nah, just paint over it. Just leave it. Just paint it. We'll pretend I'm pretty. God doesn't do that, does he? God goes, no. You don't get to pretend you're pretty. You don't get to lie. I'm going to restore you. And God, when he comes to me, I'm like, no, don't touch me. It's going to hurt. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I don't trust you. Ooh, Christian, do you not trust God? When he comes to refine you, when he comes to restore you, when trouble comes, are you going to stand on your own or are you going to let your keeper help you? Real church, I'll stand on my own as long as I possibly can, and then I'll ask the keeper to come in. Right? Let's stop doing that. How about we just start learning and realizing, I'll take this out in 9 months. It still ends the same. I have to ask God for help, so I'll just ask for help now. Okay? Let's be wise. Point number one is trouble always arises. Point number two is God never wastes trouble. God never wastes trouble. Can't sell your home, can't buy a home, can't get an apartment, can't get rid of an apartment. God doesn't waste trouble. When we have difficulties, it puts us in a place where we recognize that we need a covering, we need a shelter, we need help. And actually, we're in a lot of trouble when we believe we're in a place where we don't need help. God never wastes trouble. Romans 8:28 says this, to those who love him and are obedient. Start right there. To those who love him and are obedient, God works all things for good. You can't just take the first part of the verse and not understand the second part of the verse. Christians throw out this verse all the time. God works all things for good, even for Christians who are disobedient, running from God, and absolutely doing something insanely sinful. God will forgive it, and he will make it right. Christian, you are wrong. You don't know the whole verse. We talked last week that Jesus says, you don't understand what I'm doing because you're not for my kingdom. If you're for my kingdom, you know what I'm doing. If you're for your kingdom, you're clueless. That's what Jesus said. And I said to you guys, sometimes you're reading scripture, are you trying to grow your kingdom or God's kingdom? Point number one is trouble always arrives. Two is God never wastes trouble. Three is God refines us while we're in trouble. So the suffering and the pain that we go through are refining. It creates in us a bubbling up of things that are inside of us that shouldn't remain anymore. I love watching the Discovery Channel, and I love watching when they talk about smelting gold and how they refine gold down and what the difference between 24 karat and 14 karat and all that. I love all that stuff. And I love it when they talk about all the stuff that they have to do with gold, and they get gold and they put it into massive heat, and it has to bubble and bubble and bubble, and then all the impurities come up to the top and they scrape the top off. And God comes to me and says, Nathan, you're worth pure gold. God comes to you and says, you're worth pure gold, and he's going to fire up the kiln, and he's going to heat it up hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter in the forge, hotter and hotter and hotter, and the impurities are going to bubble up, and you hate it. Turn off the heat, God. I want to keep my impurities. I want to keep my flaws, God. God, don't make me 14 karat gold. Just make me like gold with some blemishes, right? I'll be good enough. But that's not. God loves you so much that he's like, no, 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 no. I'm making for myself a beautiful people, and I am going to perfect you. And God, I don't want to be perfected. I don't want to be flawed either. God, I'm bipolar. I want stuff that I don't want you to do. God refines us while we're in trouble. Christian, you might be going through suffering and pain right now. You might have just come out of suffering and pain. You might be going into suffering and pain. Are you going to let it refine you? Are you going to let it restore you? Are you going to take your car in Whole Foods parking lot and come around the corner and dent the front and go, bop, screw it, throw it in reverse and smash the back? What are you going to do? Too real? Someone said that. Amen. Too real. Point number four. Trouble builds within us a resistance and a strength. It makes us bold. You're like, what? It's simple. After you buy your fifth home, you don't care about your sixth. Your mortgage person's like, well, you know, you're like, you know what? Here's the money. Just deal with it. I've already done five. So what? Okay? Some of your mothers in here, after your eighth kid, you don't care. Okay? You don't care. You're not worried about the birthing process. You're not worried about, are we going to have something to bring them home in? The first kid, you're scared. Okay? 18th kid, you don't care. Oh, yeah, the number keeps getting bigger and bigger. Because what I want you to understand is the 18th time you go through trouble, what do you need to learn? God always gets me out of it. When I was little, I always knew that I had mom and dad around, and if I got into enough trouble, I just had to yell mom. And if it was a really big task and I knew mom couldn't handle it, I would yell dad. Some of us are going through pain and difficulty because God wants to make us tougher. He wants to make us stronger. He wants us to have more endurance. And some of you guys, I'm not taking away any of the pain that you're walking through. I'm not. But some of you guys are walking up a hill. And by the way, walking up the hill is the hard part. Sitting on top of the hill is the fun part. Some of you guys are walking up a hill of pain and difficulty and strife, but what we need you to do is we need you to make it to the top of the hill. And we need you to turn around and we need you to talk to us and say, you can do it. Come on up. Keep walking. The Lord is your keeper. Your foot will not slide. Keep walking. Come on up. Keep coming. Come on up. And we go, why are you talking like you can do that? And you say, because I've walked the path. And then I say something immature. Well, you don't know my feet. You don't know where I come from. You don't know my background. And we go, okay, well, you're spoiled. You just want to be angry and you don't want to be encouraged. That's fine. But the Lord is your keeper still. And he's still going to hold you, even though you're a spoiled brat. Come on up. Some of us need tough words. Amen. We don't like it, but we need it, right? 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7 says this. I don't like this verse. This is one of those verses I want to tear out of the Bible. This is one of those passages I want to ignore. This is one of the passages that I just want to just not preach on and not talk about. I don't like that 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7 starts out with the word blessed. I don't like it because I know what's coming. I know what's coming. Maybe you don't know what's coming, but right now I don't like the word blessed. You like the word blessed. We'll get there a little bit later. Maybe you won't like it. Here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds good so far. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise God, the gospel. I love it. This is amazing. Let's go. Verse 4. To an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Sweet. So God is in charge of my salvation. God is in charge of my life. God holds me close. God is the one who has for me eternity, and he is holding it for me to arrive, for me to accept it, and then I get to be with him for all eternity and forever and ever and ever. Awesome. Verse 5. Who, by God's power, are being guarded or kept through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6. In this you rejoice. Uh-oh. I was blessed and now I'm rejoicing. Though now for a little while, underline a little while. Sometimes a little while is at a year. Sometimes a little while is at 3 years. What is a little while in comparison to eternity? To the man that God healed at the pool just north of the temple, who had been lame and in pain and sitting there for 38 years. How long is a little while? Though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody in here been grieved by various trials? Three people? Anybody want me to ask the question again? Anybody in here been grieved by various trials? Yeah, you're being grieved right now through a bad sermon, right? You're like, come on. No, this is a great sermon. This is pointing you to Jesus. Let's go. It says, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Why, God? Why are you grieving me with various trials, Nathan? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith. Ouch. 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 I hated exams in school. Anybody love exams in schools? Except for those of you who give them. You're just mean. Okay? I hated exams in school. Do you know why I hated exams in school? Because I forgot everything that I was supposed to know when the paper got in front of me. I hated it. But if the teacher would just sit with me and go, Nathan, what do you know? And I would just tell him, like, okay, stop talking. I know you know the information. Awesome. Well, they didn't do that to me. That's not the way I learned. It's not the way I was tested to find out what I knew. They just put a piece of paper in front of me with a bunch of questions I had to fill in, and I just blanked. But if they would have asked me a verbal test, I would have aced it. Conversation. I hated the tests. Some of you guys are in the middle of the test. Let me ask you guys a question. When does a teacher talk the most? All the time. Fair. When does a teacher talk the most? When they're teaching. When does a teacher talk the least? How many of you guys are wondering why God's not talking? Somebody write that down. Somebody, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. Come on. How come some of you guys are sitting there like, God, I just keep asking. God, I want to know. God, I want to know. God, I want to know. And God is sitting at the desk, and he is going. Now, here's the great thing. Let me tell you something right now about a spiritual test with God. It's open community. It's open classroom. I loved open book tests. I loved group tests. I always got with the smartest kid. I knew I was the dumbest, and I knew they were like, oh, Nathan's in here, so I just brought popcorn or something to make them happy, okay? But what I want you to know is that sometimes when God is quiet, it's the test. Turn to your friend and say, I need help on the test. Seriously, turn to your friend, tell him I need help on the test. Okay? So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, we're in a group test with the community. Some of you guys are too prideful to ask for help. Some of you guys don't want to admit that you don't know the answer. And you got the person who knows the answer right next to you. You're like, well, I was taught you're not supposed to get help from anybody else. Yeah, I understand. That was in school, which was mean and restrictive, okay, and oppressive. But we're now talking about the community and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the family of God. Phone a friend. Amen. Okay, for some of you, Marco Polo a friend. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is about Jesus. Psalm 91 is a proclamation about who Jesus is. And this is what I want you to understand, Christian. Here's the encouragement. You're like, Pastor, you know, you come in, I don't feel encouraged. Well, sometimes you guys miss the encouragement part, so I got to tell you where the encouragement part is. Here's the encouragement part. If you don't get through this process and understand that trouble's going to come, and it's going to be difficult, and there's going to be fire, but you got to ask for God, because he's going to help you. He's your covering. He's your protection. And then look at all your benefits. Here's your benefits package. Okay? Psalm 91 says this. It's talking about Jesus. But this is what I know about Jesus. Jesus says that if you're my sons and daughters, you get what I get. Someone say, I get what Jesus gets. Let's talk about what Jesus gets. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you're a son or daughter of the king, you get to be in the fortress of the king. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the trapper, from the person who's trying to catch you, from the enemy that wants you messed up, for the thing that wants to kill you and to devour you. God's going to rescue you from that. And from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. I love that you're asking me right now, Pastor, what are pinions? I'm so glad you asked that. I had to look it up. I didn't know what pinions were. Pinions are a type of wing. The wings that are on birds like an ostrich or a dove or an eagle. Okay? They're wings. He will cover you with his wings. He will cover you. He will shade you. Under his wings, you will find refuge. Anytime scripture repeats itself, pay attention. Just said, wings, wings, cover, cover. He wants you to know something. And his faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You're like, what's a buckler? It's a shield. The way the scripture reads is this. His faithfulness is a shield and a shield. You get two shields. What does that mean? Double coverage. Yes. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. No matter what time of the day, you have coverage. Forget Geico. Forget Allstate. Forget Farmers. Forget SelectQuote. Okay? I got Jesus Christ. Amen? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Because you're part of the family. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you take care of your family. Those who are not in your family, sorry, they're going to fall. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Recompense means reward. The wicked get rewarded for their wickedness. Some of you guys in here, you're justice people. It happens. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place of the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. Wait a minute, Pastor. You just said trouble always comes. Yeah, but think about it. For a short time, trouble comes. Think about eternity. There's no trouble in eternity. Ain't nothing going to touch you. Are we there yet? No. Will we get there? Yes. When? I don't know. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you and on in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. By the way, this is the scripture that Satan used against Jesus. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent will you trample underfoot. Later in scripture, Jesus tells the disciples, you will trample on these things. If you follow me, if you're part of my family, if I empower you, if I'm your leader, you will do these things. Verse 14, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. God Almighty is saying, because Jesus holds fast to me, I will deliver him. And Jesus is saying, when you hold fast to him, he will deliver you. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show my salvation. Let me reread that. It's Mother's Day. When she calls to me, I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will rescue her and honor her. With long life, I will satisfy her and show her my salvation. Anybody encouraged? Or did you miss that entire psalm? In other words, what God Almighty is saying is, I've got you. God Almighty says that if you're part of my family, I got you. But before I bring you into eternity, there's some things that I want to tweak. Is it fair that before he brings us into eternity, there's some things he can tweak? Yeah, see, that's where your pride comes out. You're like, I don't know if the God who made everything, who's sovereign, who conquered death, who totally blesses me with everything, has the right to tweak with me. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Maybe today, for the first time, you in your heart of hearts can confess, Lord, tweak away. Lord, make whatever changes you want to make in me. Lord, restore me. Lord, refine me. Lord, I am yours, because there's no better place than to be kept by a good God. Amen? Let me invite the worship team up here. Stand with me real quick. I want you to think about all the times that you've been kept, all the times that you've been loved, all the times that you've been protected from your own stupidity, right? All the times that God just blessed you with a church to be a part of, a family to help you get the answers, a spouse who just smiles at you in your stupidity and says, I'm still with you, I'm not leaving. Amen? Thank you. Thank you, Dr. DeLeo in the back. Amen from the Brown up here in the front. Pray with me. God, you are good. God, thank you that we can climb up the mountain and we can say that we are going to go celebrate and we're going to party and we're going to sing with you. And God, whether we're singing because we're proclaiming that you have protected us and you have kept us and you have refined us and you have loved us and you have restored us, and God, you have put things back in place that need to be put in place, and God, you have taken things out that need to be gone. Praise you, God. And for those of us, maybe for the first time, and maybe again, may we just say, Lord, have your way with me. Amen.